to task, that you would just touch our hearts. Lord, that fire spirit today, Lord, that you begin a sovereign move of God in our hearts. Lord, we're people that are hungry for you. People, Lord, that want to know you, know your presence, and know your power. So, Lord, today we just welcome you into our hearts and into our lives again. Lord, this new day, beginning of this new week, Lord, we give this time to you. And Lord, we just honor you and worship you. Lord, I just thank you for each person as we've gathered here, Lord, in faith and trust. Lord, that your word is true and that you're our God, that you would just meet each need here today. Lord, I thank you that you're the God that heals. So, Lord, today we just pray, Lord, for little Jordan Jesperson, Lord, as he's in the hospital, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you said that you sent your word and healed them. So, Lord, we send your word today, Lord, that by your stripes, Jordan is healed. Lord, that the healing is your children's bread today, Lord. And we just thank you for healing, Lord, Jordan's body. Lord, that all of the root causes of colitis and, Lord, all those problems that he's suffering from right now, Lord, would just, Lord, clear from his body. Lord, that he'd be healed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Just pray for Andy and Patricia, Lord, that you just give them peace in their heart today. Lord, that you'd have a spirit of faith rise up in them, Lord, to believe that you could do something amazing. Lord, we pray for Kristen today. Lord, as she's been having some struggles in her body, Lord, with seizures. Lord, just pray that you'd touch her today. Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll go to her today. Lord, and you'll just touch and heal her body. Lord, give her peace and strength, Lord, in this time. Lord, we just pray for Todd, Lord, and for Margaret. Lord, for Margaret, Lord, that her sugar would just even out, even as we're here this morning praying, Lord, that her sugar would even out and that she'd be all fine when Tom goes home for lunch, that she'd be in perfect shape and happy to see him. Lord, we pray for Todd, Lord, even the name of congestive heart failure has to bow at your names. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for each person, for like John Edelman Sr., Lord, for Gordon today, Lord, for each person today, Lord, that's suffering in their body. For Beth, Lord, that you'll continue to heal her body. Lord, for each one, Lord, we just thank you that your word is true. And Lord, we just thank you today that we could gather here, Lord, that there's churches gathering all across this, Lord, this peninsula, Lord, across this region, God, that love you and that are serving you. We just pray today that you be mighty in their house today, God. Wherever they are, meeting in your name, that you just do great things there today. I pray that you'll do great things here today in our lives. We open our hearts to you and ask you to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can have a seat. I want to welcome the Hilberg family that's here visiting with us this morning. We're pretty excited. It's Harold and Beth's 60th. Can I have some lights? Thank you. Good, now I can see you all. It's not just shadows against the wall. It's just a really good time. I was at a wedding last night. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but we were at a wedding for one of Christine's cousins last night, beginning of a new marriage, and then today we're 60 years into a marriage, and just, it's amazing. God is good. It's just want to, as we continue with our series, I Want a New Marriage, just look at that process of 0 to 60. And probably for Harold and Beth, it's starting to seem like in about 30 seconds flat, right? They say as time goes on, that time goes faster. So it's just amazing. I think we just have Marlene coming now to give us an announcement. I'll take that. Oh, I better give you a mic.
Well, good morning. Are we all awake? We're all listening? Good, good. I'm missing two of my young people, but anyways, they'll be here shortly. Oh, yeah, here they come. Okay, this is an announcement that we're going to do our dinner for eight, or as somebody actually mentioned to me, say, call it a mini potluck. And so we'll have a sign-up sheet out there. There isn't one out there this Sunday, but anyone that would like, I'm encouraging everyone to sign up and go to one of these dinner for eights. It's only once in within a three-month period.
That's
that
big.
The host or hostess will invite whoever is on their list. You will go to that person's home just once within that three-month period. And it's a time of fellowship. It's a time of getting to know one another. And I'm encouraging the young people, 18 years and older, to please sign up. It's a lot of fun. You may think, oh, I'm just getting together with a bunch of old fogies or whatever, but we can be fun, you know. So, and it's amazing what you learn about, we learn about you and you learn about us. So, as I say, I'm encouraging you to sign up. And these are two of the only two young people that signed up for the last one. And it was awesome. I just love these kids anyways. But the thing is that they did come. And I didn't pay them to say what they're going to say. So they'd like to say a little something.
Alrighty. Well, how's everyone doing today? That's good. That's great. Well, I'm just going to echo what she said. And old people are a lot of fun. older people, I should say. They all still look young, though. Very young. Yeah, it's just a great time. If you're a younger person, although they're not that old, but if you're younger than they are, you should really go out and get to know these people because, you know, sometimes you go to the church with people and you never really talk to them. And we all just kind of shuffle through on Sunday and then shuffle back out. But if you really build relationships with some older people and get to know them, they can be a real encouragement in your life. And that's what they've been for me. So I just like to encourage you all to sign up and hang out with some cool older people. All right.
I just want to reiterate what Jeff said. Ended up going to Mrs. Boyce's house, and it was so much fun. We got to hang out with Mr. and Mrs. Boyce and Pastor Ralph and Christine and Mrs. Cosby, too. And I don't know if you know this, but Mrs. Cosby is hilariously funny. We, like, killed ourselves laughing all night. We ended up talking about, I don't know, like, a whole bunch of different things, books and movies and talking about all these different movies Mrs. Cosby has seen, and she has some hilariously funny stories. So it was a great time just to get to know people, like Jeff said, that you just kind of walk by in the hallway. Maybe you say hi, maybe you give them a hug, but you don't really know anything about them, and they don't know much about you. So it's a great time just to get to know people. So it was a lot of fun.
Thanks, dear. Thank you, thank you. See, so you'd be surprised. So at least try it, you know. I mean, you know, try it, you'll like it. It's just an amazing time, and like I said, it's just a time of us getting to know one another. And I really encourage everybody to 18 years and older. It would be nice to have the young people too, but the younger people. But as I say, it'll be a good time. So and we'll, as I say, it'll be good. But next week the sign up sheet will be out there. Okay, so please think about it and sign up. All right, thank you.
Cool. So for all of you that are younger than 18, we'll be selling fake IDs after youth on Thursday night. It's not nice to make fun of older people, Jeff. It's really fun though. Like, I mean, it's not a drudgery to go. When she says you only have to go three times a year or once every 3 months, it's like you wish you could go more because it's a hoot. It's actually a lot of fun. So it's just a real privilege to be able to do that and to go to that. I just wanted Pete to come up for a minute if he could. Just want to let you know some of this. Well, Pete will talk to you. There's a microphone for you. Yeah. Whatever you want to let them know.
Ralph and I talked on Thursday night about the fact that the youth group were having these testimony times, and it was really powerful because everybody was hearing what was going on in their lives. And we said, you know, it'd be kind of cool if we did that on Sundays. And didn't want to have it as like a completely open forum, I guess, where everybody just talks for hours. But so he asked me about 5 minutes ago to come here and say something, and in the last 5 minutes, my mind's been spinning about all this stuff. And I thought, well, I can give testimonies about what's going on in the youth lives, but that's really not what it's about, because it's about what's going on in my life. I need to be able to stand up and tell you what God's doing in my life.
That's good.
So I will. This morning I was reading in Isaiah chapter 1, and it really struck me, because for years I've done the church thing. We all have, yeah? We've all done the church thing. We know how to do it. But God very clearly in Isaiah says he doesn't like the church thing. He likes the heart thing. And so even in worship this morning, I couldn't worship. I couldn't worship until I put my heart right.
Right.
And right there in worship, I had to change some attitudes. And so then I felt the release and was able to worship God and give him everything. Because God's not looking at whether I raise my hands or not. God's not looking at whether I dance or not. He sees right past that into my heart, and that's what he's after. And that's the coolest thing that's going on with the young people right now. God's working in their hearts. And for us as youth leaders, it's challenging us. And you know, I'm hungry for the word more than ever before. I want to be ahead of these guys. We're supposed to be leaders. We don't want to be chasing them. We want to have them chasing us. So God's really doing a work. But it's a hard thing. Don't get hung up on performing for God, because he really doesn't care. I got a quote on my Facebook which says, the only difference between a rut and a grave is the depth. And I figured that I'm fed up with living in a rut because it's too close to a grave. So I'm ready to step out of that rut and live for God. And that's what's going on in my life. And with the dinner for eight thing, I was just saying, Allison, there, I don't think you adults realize what you're doing if you invite 18-year-olds into your home. Because, especially the ones they are now.
Right.
Because, you know what? They've got something which is catching right now. So if you invite them into your home, you're going to get infected. And it's going to be good. So do it.
Right on.
It's good. So I think it's really important for us right now in this time. I think it's really cool. I've done youth ministry 27 years. And what God's doing right now is more amazing than anything I've ever seen. Special divine work of God in their lives, and it's amazing. It's beautiful. But it's something that if we don't support it in prayer, if we don't support it in encouragement and all that kind of stuff, it's something that could just come and go, and I don't really want it to be that way. I'd like it to passion of God to fill their lives. I remember when I was a kid, God did that to me and really carried me through my life. And I feel more passionate today than I've ever felt in my life for God and his kingdom. And he wants that. He doesn't want, as Pete said, for us to live in a rut. He doesn't want us to live close to the grave. He wants us to live in an expectancy of him in our lives each and every day. And he wants that. And you can have that. You can have God at work in your life every day simply by just giving him part of your day. I know I can look around the room and there's many of you I've talked to over the years and especially over this last year or two where you've just really suffered from dried out Christian life. And just challenge you to read your word of God and to spend time in prayer, and it's revived you and revitalized your walk with God. That's what it takes. It takes time. It takes commitment. And I believe God wants to do it. That was really cool. I don't know if she's here or not, but one of our girls in our youth group was saying on Thursday night when they were given a bit of testimony time. It's strange because usually you can't get young people to speak, but on Thursdays right now we just say, anybody got something you want to say, and we can't stop. But it's cool. This girl was at camp and she said, you know, Lord, I really I prayed to you many times and I feel like you don't answer my prayers. And she said, I've got a boyfriend who really needs help right now. He's got some bad habits and he needs to get into a rehab. And if you would just answer that prayer, that would be amazing. And while she was praying that prayer in that moment, almost, as far as I can figure out, her boyfriend was checking into a rehab. And like, that's amazing because God hears and answers prayer. It's not coincidence, it's God. God knows before it ever starts. So I just think it's really important for us right now to pray for our young people, but also ask God to work in our hearts and lives each day. I'm just really stoked right now. It's a really fun time, and it's really good to be a youth leader. I'm supposed to be too old, but it's still pretty cool. They still let me come every Thursday. Haven't kicked me out yet, so I'm just going to keep coming until they throw me. Anyway, it's all good. Some stuff going on. Next week, Saturday night, our youth have put on an event. They've been working on it. They built the whole thing. I have nothing to do with it. I don't actually know exactly what's going on. It's called Take Up Arms. Their goal and desire is to reach unchurched people, to reach people that don't know Jesus. So they're bringing in a few bands. They're Christian bands who love God and worship God, and they're going to set this up, and the kids are all going to come in here and hang out, and their goal is to reach kids. They're going to mill around and get to know people and connect with people, and that's, as far as I understand, that's what it's about. But what they ask for this morning is that you pray for them this week, that the kids that come, that their hearts be touched, their lives would be changed, that this wouldn't just be an event, but this would be a life changer for them. I think it's really cool that they've stepped up and said, we want to do this thing. So now it's our turn to support them with our prayers, okay? So everybody will pray for them this week?
Amen.
It's good. Got a couple little things to deal with here yet. For those of you that are visiting, sorry, we're just right in the middle of just getting ready for fall and in fall. And so this week our small groups start on Wednesday. And I know people are asking me all the time, when sign up? Is sign up this Sunday? Is that what we're doing? You know, but we're changing everything. We're just throwing everything. We've taken the cart, flipped it over, and said, let's start new and fresh. Let's do something different, something really that will produce, I believe, spiritual growth in people. I really believe it's time that God, I really think we're in a time right now where God wants to touch your lives. And we just want to make sure we have done everything in every way possible for you to connect with God. So with small groups this year, we are going to start here on Wednesday night. And my feeling is this. Our vision for our church is to build relationships, to build the kingdom of God. Our first relationship we build is with God. So we come and gather together on Sundays and we worship Him. We learn from His Word. We build and strengthen our relationship with Him. We do that through reading our Bible every day, through prayer, through those times of intimacy that we have with God. We are going to be having something called spiritual personal trainers. I'll be grabbing some of you soon to ask you to volunteer for that, to take someone who just finds Jesus to help them walk through the first 5 weeks of their new Christian walk. Spiritual personal trainers. And then we're going to start doing something called an encounter in probably January or February. We're trying to figure out dates and places and times, so we'll let you know. But that'll be another time where people can just get together, take a weekend with God, just let God touch their life. So this is that whole developing a relationship with God part of what we believe is our vision as a church. Really, the great command and the great commission. Love God above all. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all nations. So simply, love God, now love each other. We do that in small groups. We learn to love each other. Small groups are crucial as far as I'm concerned. We've tried to do everything we could over the years to get as many of you as possible into small groups. What my goal is that as a church, everybody will come to church on Sunday, connect with God here in worship and word, that you'll be a part of a small group, and that you will reach out to the world, reach out to someone around you, either through ministry inside the church, worship, first impressions, kids ministries, whatever, or in our outreach ministries that we do, like we're doing this Saturday, like we did two Saturdays ago with our yard sale. So small groups is important. You can't get to know people. I think Jeff said it really well. You know, like you walk past people in the hall, you don't get to know people. You don't get to know people by staring at the back of their heads on Sunday. You might notice some things about the back of their heads, but you're not going to really know them. And you're not going to get to know people even just being in the cafe on Sunday. Unless you target one person, and that's the only person you target every Sunday, and you spend a half an hour or an hour talking to them every Sunday after church in the cafe, you might get to know them a bit. But in small groups, we get to get together, and we get to minister to each other. That means to pray for each other, to share God's word with each other, to care about each other, to carry each other's burdens, to rejoice with each other, do all that, and to be ministered to, that others would help us and carry our burdens with us and rejoice with us and do those things. So it's my goal, and I will torture you for the rest of your lives, to get into a small group. I think it's super important. I think it's the most, one of the most important parts. Well, there's three parts to what I believe God's called us to, and that's one of them. So I think it's really important. I'd really appreciate it if you'd all show up on Wednesday night for small groups. We might have a few large groups for a while until we sort things out. This is a bit of a work in progress, so just ask you to come on out. We're going to try and explain more of what we're doing Wednesday night and get you split up into small groups a bit. But please show up. I think it's really, really important. So that's it for small groups. We are not having a small group sign up. We are getting together Wednesday night for small groups. So please show up. Good. Done begging. This week, Sunday, we're finishing our series, I Want a New Marriage. For those of you that haven't been here before, we're not like swapping partners or anything like that. We are actually asking God to show us and to help us to be better at the marriages we have so that they will be transformed and made new by Him. I think it's really, really important for us. I was talking to a bunch of people over this past couple of weeks about what God's doing in their marriage. And there's just some people here that have it together. I was talking to one lady. She says, you know, whenever I get mad at my husband, I take some time aside and I say to myself, is this really his fault or is there something that's going on in me that's making me react in this way? I'm like, wow, that's amazing. If we could all do that, if we could all just step aside from our issues and our struggles and our problems and just get real with who we are, our marriages could be amazing. But there's just so many really cool people that you could connect with, again, in small groups. next week, John Edelman is going to be preaching. And I remembered the name until about 2 seconds ago. What's the name of the message next week? Yeah. The name of the message for next week, Sunday. From you. Faith. Faith, that was easy. I could have remembered that. But next week is faith, and John's talking to me a bit about it this morning. I think it's right time for this message, right time for us to hear it. So come out, come expecting. On Thursday night, I don't know if you guys are all into Facebook. I haven't seen a lot of you on Facebook, but there's some that are into Facebook. Thursday night before youth, a big message went out. Come expecting. It was sent out by one of the guys in the youth group. And that's what I would say to you. If you're going to come to church, come expecting God to do something good. God loves when we expect Him to do good things. So next week is going to be a great week. John Edelman's bringing God's word to us, and it's going to be a great time. And then the week after that, not sure exactly yet, but we're going to start a new series called God's Masterpiece. And that masterpiece is you. And it's going to be cool. There's just God showing me some cool things for all of you over this next little while. Just about intimacy with Him and knowing Him and Him knowing you. So today we are going on with I Want a New Marriage. So we've talked a lot and I've got stuck on one point for a whole Sunday over the last 2 weeks. And I'm going to finish today and I have 7 points. So in my 7 points, we hope we get out of here before, 2 o'clock. No, we'll be out of here on time. I was at a wedding yesterday and I was just watching New Love. I was watching what it was like as a couple. The slate is perfectly clean. They're looking to each other's eyes and all they see is hope and beauty and wonder. And it's just this amazing world that they imagined that they could live in together. And it was beautiful. It's always cool in those days because as husband and wives, we look at each other again with those same eyes. And we see the beauty of what God's given us. And then I think about today, Harold and Beth, 60 years down the road. And I know over this past little while, they've had some health struggles. And I've seen love and passion in their marriage. That I hope, today we're married. We're married over 17 years, Christine and I. But I hope that when we hit 60, we still have that same fire and passion of love for each other that they have. But it takes work. Somewhere between that wide-eyed wonder and that love of mature people, there's a whole process that we need to go through. And it's not a simple process. Jesus likened our relationship with Him to our marriages. Jesus and His church, the bride of Christ, and us in our marriage relationship, He likens them to be the same. So there's this whole process that we get to go through. And I know like there's young people here and tons of you here today that aren't married. But the thing is, you will be married. And this is really important for you to know out front. It's really important for us to know that God has a plan for marriage. That marriage isn't something that we just do on sunny days, on good days, on days when everything's going right. But marriage is something we stick to for our lifetime. It's something that we hold fast to. It's something that we trust God for each day. It's something that we carry to God in prayer every day. It's something that really God thinks is wonderful and beautiful. I love the scripture in Malachi where he says, I see how you treat the wife of your youth. It's a negative scripture because he says, I'm listening to you, you're sniveling, you're whining, I don't really care because you're like, I see the way you treat the wife of your youth. But I know if he sees when we treat our wife of our youth badly, he also sees when we treat the wife of our youth amazingly. Right. And as much as he turns his back when we prove that we can't live in covenant with our wife, he smiles and turns toward us as we live in covenant with each other and love each other. It's really important for us to realize how much marriage is not just an event. Marriage is not a friendship. Marriage is a covenant. It's something that we've said before God that we bind ourselves together. The Bible says we become one flesh, joined together. Like what God has put together, let no man tear asunder, the Bible said. No, let no man take apart what God has put together. So we need to understand how important and how valuable marriage is to God. It's incredibly important. We've done this whole series and we're finishing up today. And if your marriage is in trouble and still in trouble, I beg you, get help. Get someone to sit down with you. Get someone to counsel you on your marriage, because I believe God loves marriage and God wants to make it work. So, last week we talked about that in marriage we should be selfless. And that's hard for us as human beings because of sin. The sin that's entered the world has made us selfish, right? So to really succeed in marriage, we have to be selfless. We have to think of the other person more highly than we think of ourselves at times. There's a sacrificing in marriage. There's a place where we need to not look out for our own interests and our own self, but to look out for our spouse. That's what we talked about. We spent a lot of time on last week. You could listen again online if you want. But today I just got 7 points, and they're probably a little bit quicker than what we've had and not as in-depth. But I just want to leave you with a few ideas as we close out this series. So the first one for today is we need to talk to each other about what God is doing in our life and what he's showing us in his word. Sometimes I think that as couples, we have a hard time actually just communicating about that. I just would ask you this question. When's the last time that you actually asked your spouse, what's God doing in your life right now? And what's he teaching you right now? I'm guessing that a lot of people would have to really think back a long way. But God has put you together to help each other and encourage each other. To bring accountability into your relationship with each other and with God. So the question, what's God doing in your life today, is a question that needs to be asked. It's a question that if you're single today, you need to find someone that's close to you that you could have asked you that question on a regular basis. Because if we're really going to grow in our walk with God, we have to be able to communicate what God is doing. I remember when, you know, I first met Christine, and I tell all my friends, you know, like I met this beautiful girl. She's wonderful. She's amazing. Like, I just couldn't stop talking about her. But our relationship with God is supposed to be even more intense and more amazing than that. So we should want to talk about it. I think it's hard a lot of times to talk about with our spouse, because I think a lot of times we are just afraid of maybe if we tell, you know, our wife or if we tell our husband that God's speaking to me maybe about this bad attitude that I've had, that as soon as I tell them, I'm going to be held accountable by them and I'm not going to have time to process this in my own space, in my own time. I think sometimes we're afraid because we just think maybe sometimes there's just some parts of our world that we'd like to keep private. But I think it's really important in our marriages that we don't hide things, that we don't even try and live on our own, but that we actually join together as partners and just commit to sharing each part of our life together. We have a part that we share together that's physical part of marriage. We have a part that we share together in raising our kids. We have, you know, like our hopes and dreams and desires. But the biggest part of our marriage is our relationship with God. It's central. We've talked about how God is central to everything we do in our life. That if we want to have a better marriage, we have to have a better relationship with God. So if you're not talking and communicating about your relationship with God, it's really important for you to do that. Your life is not your own anymore. The Bible says this in Ephesians 5:31. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father or mother to get married, and he becomes like one person with his wife. So what God's doing in my life, to a great degree, God's doing in Christine's life. What God's doing in Christine's life, God's doing in my life. You need to find ways to communicate. You need to find times that you could actually talk about these things. The world is busy, right? It's crazy. We're running from this place to that. Every night is tied up. Every day is tied up. And sometimes we get together at the end of the week and we stare at each other and we say, who are you? But what we need to do is we need to actually schedule in time to connect and to be together. One of the things, best things I've ever done, and I should be a hot tub salesman. One of the best things we ever done as a couple was bought a hot tub because we could sit in the hot tub and talk about these kind of things because we're just sitting across from each other and it's ignorant if you don't say anything. So you should talk, right? And hot tubs are great for that. But maybe for you it's going for a walk or there's cheaper ways than hot tubs. But just got to find ways that you just feel like that there's a way that you could open up and start sharing about your walk with God. As you start talking about it with your spouse or with a close friend, for those of you that are single, it grows. God grows in you. And it becomes more, as you speak it out, it becomes more real and becomes more a part of your life. I feel like a little bit like a cheap shot artist this morning, so I'm going to just say this next point. Is join a small group and get connected with others. I was pounding a bit on this week. But it's important in our marriages, too, to have a bigger world. It's important to have some friends outside of our marriage. It's important to connect to people on an intimate level outside of our marriages. Maybe together, even as other couples, so that other people are in our world and know what's going on. That there's other people watching over our souls than just each other. I think if you huddle in a home with just two of you, and you never really open up to people outside the home, the world becomes really small, and you really don't have the full advantage of what God could do in your life. A couple weeks ago, we talked and used the scripture, submit yourselves to one another because of your reverence for Christ. We said that men like that scripture because men like to wives submit to your husbands. That's the next verse, to honor God. But the first verse said submit to each other. And that's part of the whole small group process. That's part of being together in relationship with others is actually having other people in your life that you have some accountability with. I make it my business to have people in my world that I share my life with, that I talk to when I have struggles, that I connect with when things are going on, that I, when something really great happens, that I talk to them and tell them and communicate. It's really important for you to do that. It's easy, as I said, in our culture, to sit back and say, I'm too busy, there's too many things going on, there's too much. But every once in a while, you just have to take the schedule and flush some unimportant things. Just pull the handle and let them go because there's more important things. Your relationship with God is the most important. Your relationship with others is the second, I believe, most important. So it's really important for you to connect in a small group. Small groups actually provide places of safety and ministry for you. I remember back when Dad was still alive, about 2 years before Dad died, we were meeting at Frank and Marlene's house. We had a small group. We met together for a couple of years, right, with the same group. And we were very close, and God was doing really some cool things in our lives. And I got a call when I was there that Dad had a stroke and that I need to go. And before I went, we got together as a group, and we prayed and asked God to help. And it was like ministry. It was so important. It's so cool. I know there's many people here that have been in small groups and gone through struggles and seen your small group come up and pull up around you and help you. For those of you that are struggling in your marriages, get in a small group and be honest, be open. I think one of the biggest problems that we face in our culture, I say this, I don't know if it's said it here, but I say this a lot. As a culture, we moved from the front porch of our house to the back deck. And then we move from the back deck and we sit in front of our computer screens and we communicate or text or whatever that way. But there's something about the old way when you walk down the street and people were just open and talked and their porch was always, there was an extra chair on it to sit and pull up and talk on. It's really important to live our lives in that way, that we're open, that we're honest with each other, that we don't hide things. Because as we hide things, it really creates problems in our life. But being in a bigger group than just our marriage helps us with those things. So, I admit it, I'm a cheap shot artist. I'm like just trying to pump this, but I really believe in it. The third thing is to take time to talk to each other. We talked about take time to communicate about what God's doing, but even just take some time to talk to each other. Do you remember when you were dating? Everybody? I know, like for some of us, that was a long time ago. Harold and Beth. I was saying to Christine the other day, they can't even remember probably what it was like to be single almost. It was like so long ago. They've been married like three times longer than you were single, you know? And it's like, that's a long time ago. But remember when you were single and you just couldn't wait to get together? Like I lived in Dunville. Christine lived in Fond Hill. I worked in Hamilton. And I mean, as soon as I got off work, like I was in an on-call kind of job. And I'd fight like crazy to get off work, get done, leave that place so I could go up and see Christine. And then I'd run up the highway, go see Christine. Didn't matter, summer, winter. If it was a blizzard out, I was driving up that highway to see her. I couldn't wait to see her. I just wanted to see her so much. Drive up the highway, get to her house. I'd stay there till the last possible minute till I had to be home for my curfew. And then I'd jet out of there, get home, go to bed, do the same thing the next day, all weekend together. Talk all the time, you know, like remember on the phone, I don't want to hang up, baby, you hang up, you know, one of those things. Well, I think we all went through that. Remember when it was really important to you, what was her favorite color? You know, what did you do today? Oh, wow, that's so cool, that's so interesting. Oh, what did she say? Blah, 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 we're acting like girls, right? We were like all of a sudden important in the all involved in the details. But time went on, and then not so much. But we need to communicate to each other. We need to talk to each other. We need to be involved in each other's life and enjoy each other. It's like really important. Guys, if you have to, do a sports interview with your wife when you get home. Like, so what'd you do today? Yeah, and what happened then? And then you just ask questions. You probably only have to ask once, and then you could just wait and listen and listen and listen. And you don't have to say anything else. Just nod and go, yeah, and lean forward a little bit and try and write down a couple things so you remember to ask about them tomorrow. Those kind of things are important, though. Really, really important. Because so many times in our life, in our marriages, we just walk around and grunt. You know, how was your day? All right, good. The only time we ever talk to each other is when we have something to complain about. But there's something beautiful about sharing. If you remember those days, I remember when I asked Christine out, it was this time of year. We were going to go hiking on Thanksgiving. So it was like 19 years ago. And it was on a Sunday afternoon. And I got out of church and I dialed the number. It was one of those, geep, geep. We hated when the 905 came in because it really got blisters on the end of our finger from turning that stupid knob. And I dial it. And then I chicken out and slam it down, and they didn't have redial on those phones, so we had to do it again. Dial it, hang up, do it again. I probably dialed it like 300 times. I'll never forget her number, 892-5843, right? It was like I dialed that number a million times just to get to ask her out once. And once we got together, I just couldn't believe how wonderful this woman was, and I just couldn't get enough of her. How many of you guys or women still feel that way about your husbands? Remember, girls, when you used to put on your makeup and do your hair and do everything so when your boyfriend showed up at the door, you were looking like amazing? And now you come to the door after work and like it's all kind of like frumpy. sorry. I don't know if you do that. but maybe. But just like turn up the care, turn up the love, turn up the, you know what, just lean forward into life a little bit. Really, really just turn up the enthusiasm in your marriages. Talk to each other. It's amazing what just talking to each other will do to heal hurts, to fix problems, to solve issues, to make people feel secure and loved in a marriage. It's amazing what can happen if you just take on that attitude. It's like watching those kids last night dance the first dance together, you know? Staring into each other's eyes, all kind of like big starry eyes, like, you know, they're going to teach the world what it was like to really be married, you know? And I know that down the road there's some problems for them. I know they're going to go through some stuff, but we're praying that God will, you know, bring them like Harold and Beth to this great 60-year mark. But it comes by being people that, you know, will take time and love each other and communicate with each other. So, fourth point. We should find ways to enjoy life together. Enjoy time together. Find things that you both like to do. Find things you enjoy. Find things you can do together. Encourage your spouse to do things that they enjoy doing, even maybe without you. My wife is an athlete. I'm obviously not. She loves sports, and she always is trying something new. You know, this year she's taken up hockey. And so, like, always try to encourage her. Do what you enjoy. Get out there and enjoy life. Enjoy that time. But I think, like, even as couples, we need to take some time to enjoy each other. Last night, I'm, you know, having a slow dance with my sweetheart and just staring into her eyes, and it was like, this is beautiful. This is great. I'm not loving dancing, but I'm loving my wife and just enjoying being with her and connecting with her and just talking and smiling and loving each other on that floor last night, you know, like just dancing together and enjoying that. Going for a walk and holding each other's hand and just talking about our dreams and our things like that, you know? Going out with the kids and doing things and whatever, but just find ways to just enjoy life. Go out for dinner once in a while. I know for some people it's hard that you're struggling financially, but you know what? Trade off with someone on a babysitter or just, you know, make a nice picnic and go out and eat something together and enjoy each other's company. Go watch a show together. Sit in the back row. Have some, you know, a little bit of kissy-huggy time. Stop by the river on the way home. Watch the submarine races, you know. Just enjoy that time together. That's called parking, for those of you that don't know. You're married. It's legal. You know, just be, you know, moderation. But you can go parking now. It's all cool. You can stay out as late as you want. But just find things to enjoy together. Go, you know, take a holiday once in a while. Go somewhere. Do something together. Just take some time to enjoy each other. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, happiness makes you smile. Sorrow can crush you. There's lots about our world that can make us sad. Let's find some time to make some happy moments and enjoy life. Proverbs 17, 22 says, if you're cheerful, you'll feel good. If you're sad, you're hurt all over. So find some happy times. Christine was telling me she's been reading this book called God Chicks and the Men They Love. Is that what it's called? And she was telling me this story about this guy. He did this for his wife, the guy who wrote the book. She liked the movie, I think, Sleepless in Seattle. And there was a part in the movie that said, if you love me, meet me at the top of the Empire State Building. I haven't seen the movie, actually, so I don't know. So one day he says, I got to get up really early. I got to get up early and go to work in the morning. And so he went to work. And then when she got up, she found on her kitchen counter these three envelopes. So the first, opened this one first. So she opened this one and it said, if you love me, meet me at the top of the Empire State Building. Well, I think they live like, where do they live? L.A. or something. They live on the West Coast. And the Empire State Building is in New York City. So then it says, open the second envelope next. And it said, like, hurry up and get on the plane, lady. You got 2 hours left. And then the third one was, you know, read this on the plane, and it was a love letter to his wife. But we maybe can't be that complex. Maybe we can't afford that kind of a date. But be creative. Have some fun. Enjoy each other. Take time. Plan. Do things that are a little bit outrageous and a little bit out of the box and a little bit crazy. Maybe some things that don't even seem like prudent. You know, or maybe you'll have to sneak into your budget, you know, when you're budgeting and make happen. But find ways to just bring life a little bit up a level and just enjoy each other. There's a lot of time for, like, being serious. There's a lot of time for, like, being kind of, you know, like, faithful and, you know, like, well, you got to be faithful all the time. But you know, it's just like, don't be boring. I'm good at that, being boring. I got to push myself to get out of the box once in a while. Do that, and you'll make your marriage shine. Okay, kids, plug your ears. We should have, as married couples, we should have and enjoy a healthy sex life. My kids are probably, shut up, Dad, we don't want to hear it. But it's really important. It needs to be said, and it needs to be said in church. I mean, the world talks about it all the time, but we need to enjoy and have that as part of our marriage. It's what God designed marriage for, partly. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 to 5 says, now, getting down to the question you asked in your letter to me, this is Paul speaking, the apostle. First, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, but only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. I need to stop right here because I think it's really important for everybody to understand that sex is meant for in the guardrails and boundaries of marriage. If you're a single person and you're having sex with someone, you need to stop. It's sin, it's willful sin, and it's wrong. It's going to affect your relationship with God, and you got to stop. It's not right. Stop. This was designed completely for in a marriage relationship. It's not for a little fling out or fun like that, because all you're going to do is hurt your marriage relationship once you get married. It's really important for young people and single people to understand this is a gift that's for your spouse. It's not for anyone else. And really, like, having sex outside of marriage, it's really like, it's one of the worst things that you could do for yourself. It's one of the worst things that you could ever do for yourself, because what it does, it creates all kinds of problems in your relationships later on. God designed you as a person to give yourself away to one person, to enjoy that one person and spend your life with that person. It's really important. If that's what you're doing, stop. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife, the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a time if you both agree to it, and if it's for the purpose of prayer and fasting, but only for such times. Then come back together again. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. It is really important for us to realize if we want to have healthy relationships, we can't play games with sex. We can't withhold. We can't use it as a temptation or a carrot or anything like that. It's a gift that God gave us in marriage, and it's something that we share willingly and freely with each other. Whoever said the Bible is out of date is crazy. If there was ever a scripture that really relates to the world we live in, this scripture relates to it. It's talking about that sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. We live in a world of sexual disorder. It's really scary in a way, because if you study culture and you study culture over time, every great culture that's ever ruled the world, as soon as they got all kind of crazy with sex and all those kind of things, it collapsed the culture. That's why we're believing God that He'll have a great move in our culture today, that we'll have young people that will say, we're not going there. We're going to serve God. We're going to live for God. We're going to stay clean. We're going to live pure before God until the day we give ourselves to our spouse. And it's really important for us as parents to really not take lightly that whole deal, that we don't manipulate with it, that we don't mess around with it, that is a gift that we give to each other. Paul talks about how if you're going to abstain, you both have to agree. And then it's only the only time that it's right to abstain is when you're going through a time of prayer and fasting. The thing is that in our culture, and I believe in church culture even, there's a lot of people that are like holding back from each other. So men, stop it. No. It's really important for us to realize this is we're talking about this, and if you feel uncomfortable, I'm really sorry. But I'll say it the way my kids say it. Dad, I go to school. I hear this stuff. And it's true, okay? But it's really important for us to understand that if we hold back or if we won't, you know, share in that kind of a life with our spouse, that we're asking and begging for trouble in our marriage. The Bible says Satan is ingenious and he'll find a way to make the best of that situation. So if you want to play that game with your marriage, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for problems. Be generous. Be open-hearted with your spouse. Don't think about your own interests, but think about their interests. Help them. Care about them. Love them. Really, really important. Okay. Number six. We're doing all right here. We need to share in the budget process together. And maybe for a lot of you this isn't an issue, but I know like the statistics tell us that finances are one of the number one causes of divorce in our country. That finances are one of the biggest struggles for marriages. And one of the things that Christine and I discovered about 3 years ago is that if we could do our budgeting together, it just opened up our life in all parts of our marriage. It just made us more partners in our life together. I used to do all the books. Christine never really knew what was going on. I would like just, you know, and I was like kind of, you know me, I'm a little bit fly by the seat of your pants. So I know I got this much money, this much I could spend, this much I can blow, and we did. We blew it. And if I could go back and rewind, and for sure if Christine could go back and rewind, she would have, you know, become part of the process earlier. And it would have helped me. But we decided about 3 years ago to start doing our budgeting together, to go through the numbers every month, to plan where each penny goes, to save for things that we want, and to buy things that we both agree on. And now 3 years into it, I think we paid off about $27,000 or $28,000 worth of debt. We're able to do the things we want to do. A lot of things that we used to think were important that we wanted to buy and get together, we don't think are so important anymore. We're just a lot more free to do the things that we want to do. And we're a lot more free to love each other. Because there's no more suspicion. There's no more wondering if there's enough in the bank account to do what we're doing. There's no more of that. Because we have opened our lives to each other. I think the devil is a rotten, stinking dirtbag, honestly. And I think if you give him a place to hide in your marriage, he'll hide there and he'll work from there. And I think one of the biggest places he loves to hide is in finances. I would guess that in most marriages, there's one person that loves to spend and one person that loves to save. And it might not be love, it might be like, but in some variants, it's that way. We sort of seem to marry opposites. So when you have a person that wants to spend all the time and a person that doesn't want to spend and they're not connecting in that area and understanding that together, you have troubles. So just do yourself a favor. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know how to do it, we have help. We have some books that we can give you called The Total Money Makeover. I'm sure Bob and Lorraine would love to sit down with you and help you with your finances if you need help. I'm pretty sure there's some other people around. I know John and Arda have taught this course in their business. There's a few people around that could teach you and help you with this area. But get help. Get it right. I think it's really important to do it right, to do it safe, to be together in it. And then when challenges come, you can pray together and believe together. Nobody has to fight that battle on their own. And the last point I want to make today is this. You got to help each other to do what God has for it. Let me just read what I wrote. That'll be easier. Help each other to be all that God has called you to be. I think that God's called us together in marriages to do something great together. I think God knew when we came together that together we could do amazing things. The Bible says one could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. God knew when Christine and I got married that one day we'd be the pastors of the church. We didn't know. We actually never thought. At that time, never really crossed my mind. I was working in a regular job doing high-pressure water blasting, and I was working as a volunteer youth pastor, youth leader in the church. Christine was going to school to be maybe a physiotherapist, maybe a teacher. She was just working through that process. But God brought us together with some pretty unique talents and abilities that we each have. And God is using that today and helping us. But one of the things I committed to long ago when we first got married was whatever Christine has in her heart to do, I'm going to be her biggest cheerleader. I'm going to do everything I could do to provide what she needs to be able to do it. So if Christine was to say to me tomorrow, I believe that I need to go back to school and study, we'd find a way to do it. Because I think it's my job as her husband to be the person that helps her and inspires her to be everything that God's called her to be. And I think that together she does that for me, that she's behind me and inspires me and helps me to be everything that God's called me to be. So many times in marriage, and I go back to what we talked about last week about being selfish in marriage. So many times we look at what our spouse is wanting to do and we ask ourselves, what's this going to cost me? And I don't think we should do stupid things, but I think we should do our best to support each other in marriage, to support each other in our dreams, support each other in what God's calling us to. And if it's something big and we need to go through a process of preparation and budgeting and saving or whatever, then we need to do that. If we'll commit to love each other with all our heart, with all our passion, with all our mind, I think God can do amazing things in our marriage. I think the thing we have to remember is we can never be lazy. We can never give the devil a place. We can never leave doors open that should be shut. We should never open doors that should never open. We need to love each other, both all spirit to spirit, knowing what's going on in each other's life. We need to love each other physically. We need to care for each other in our minds, intellectually. We need to do all these things if we're going to build great marriages. I just believe that God can do it through you. And I think that if there's one thing that could show the world God's love is if we could live properly and with passion in our marriages. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you and thank you today. Lord, those of us that are married today, Lord, that have crossed that line, and Lord, that we said yes to a person, and Lord, that we are living with that person for the rest of our life in committed relationship. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be, Lord, the people that you've called us to be. Help us to live the way you've called us to live. Lord, help us to be that selfless person. Lord, help us to be that person that's totally committed in our hearts to you, Lord, and totally committed in our relationship with our spouse. Lord, I pray for the person today that isn't married, but Lord, it has a desire. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, today that you would just help them, even as we've gone through this whole teaching on marriage, that you would help them to plan, to get ready for, to believe you for an amazing person that loves you and that cares for you and that wants to see your kingdom, Lord, come in this earth. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we just pray a blessing over each family here today, over each marriage. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll do great things. Lord, for the ones that are doing really great, Lord, just pray that you'll just give them innovative ideas on how to take their marriage to a new level. The ones that are just kind of in that rut, not dead, but looking like it could be a shallow grave, God, I pray that you would just, Lord, inspire them that you have so much better for them. Lord, for the one who maybe even today, Lord, is they're separated or they're thinking of separating, God, I just pray that you just give them a spirit, Lord, of faith, and that they would believe that you could do an amazing thing. God, you're the God who raises the dead. So, Lord, you can help us in our marriages. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we close, I just want to give you an opportunity. If you're here this morning and you've never, ever committed your life to Jesus, today is the day. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, it's simple. Jesus came to the earth because he loved you so much. He gave his life on a cruel cross. He was a perfect man, never sinned, never was disobedient to his Father. But he sacrificed his life for you and me so that we could be saved. We're going to pray a little prayer here in a moment. If you pray this with your mouth and believe it in your heart, God's going to change your life. You're going to become a child of God. He's going to work in you. And your life is never going to be the same. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I ask you today to come into my heart. I ask you today to be the Lord of my life. Take control. From today and on, I want to follow you. I want to obey you. I ask you today to forgive me for my sins. Wash me white as snow. Thank you for your blood, the pain for my sins. Come into my heart, I pray. Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing a song in closing. Just take a few moments as we sing just to allow God to speak to your heart. If you need prayer after church, there is a prayer room three doors down to the left. There'll be people in there waiting to pray with you. If you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, if you say that prayer for the first time, meant it with your heart, stop by there, talk to someone. They'd love to talk to you and pray with you for a moment. But let's just stand now and worship God. And after we're done with the song, we'll close it up.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come.